Happy New Year! Happy New Year! I am excited again for what God has in store for us. And I don't say that just to try and sound inspiring. I am actually inspired. I'm inspired by what God has done, and I am looking with deep anticipation ahead at what God has for us. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to reflect a little bit on vision, on resolutions and goals, and specifically around some of the vision pieces that God has given Crossroads. And then we're going to look a little bit more tangibly or specifically on what we have moving ahead. Anybody make any New Year's resolutions this year? Anybody? One person. Well, I'm going to have to change my message here on the fly. All right. I bet there's more. You just didn't want to raise your hand because you're... Okay, there's some more. You just didn't want to make me... I won't make you say them out. It's okay. You're good. You're good. All right, so if you have your Bible, we are going to turn for today we're at least going to start in Habakkuk. Anybody read Habakkuk lately? It's this beautiful little book. Nice, Chris. It's a beautiful little book, and there are a couple of vision pieces, specifically a few verses that are relevant for us. Now, just as a heads up, Habakkuk was this minor prophet, and that doesn't mean that he meant less. It means his book was smaller, and he lived in Judah around King Josiah and King Jehoiakim's reign. So that was somewhere around 600 BC, 600 before Jesus arrived. There's a good chance that he was there to see the fulfillment of that prophecy that foreign people would come and destroy Jerusalem. And that was the Babylonians who came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And see, Habakkuk was perplexed at how God could allow people around him, people specifically who identified as followers of the one true God. He did not know how they could say they followed God and then act so differently. Their lives were filled with so many things that were contrary to what God had for his people as far as fulfilling the law. Now we know in that time, the law was the essential piece that people looked to. It was through the law that you gained access to God. That was before Jesus. Right? Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and in a sense took the law, became the law, and as we believe in him, it's through our belief in him that all of the law is fulfilled, and then we have access to God. But this was a time where the law, with hundreds and hundreds of stipulations, rules, guidelines, fulfilled the way that you should live, and these people weren't living it. They did everything outside of it. And so Habakkuk sat there and said, God, how can you do this? How can you allow this to happen? And so you'll see if you read Habakkuk, he'll ask these questions. And I'm not going to talk, I'm just going to mention it briefly. I believe it's at the start of 2, Habakkuk says, okay, I've essentially posed my question. And now I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait and be corrected. And I think that's essential for us, church. I think it's essential that we have a posture of being able to come alongside and wait for correction. And when God gives us that correction, that guidance, that gentle nudge, or sometimes a stronger nudge, it's important that we respond. I remember in past years, probably most specifically, the most recent coaching thing I did was with a swim club and kids learning how to swim and do stroke techniques. And as a coach, you stand up on the side and you see kids who are taking their arms and they're coming too far over, or when they swim with their arms. This was my worst thing when I would swim freestyle or front crawl when I was swimming, is I would just forget to use my kick at all. I would just, my legs would flop in the water. And so as a coach, you stand there and you go, hey, I want you to work on this thing when you go up the length next time. And you could tell the kids who were teachable and able to receive it, because they would take it and they would adjust and they would do their best to correct mid-course. You could see kids who struggled with receiving correction because they would go, uh-huh, and then they would go back and do the same thing. Sometimes we're like that, and that God will say, hey buddy, I got something for you here. And we'll go, uh-huh, and then we'll go and do the same thing. That's not a new thing. That was happening in Habakkuk's time. But he says this in 2. Actually, I am going to read the correction part. He says, I will stand my watch. Sorry, chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch, set myself on the rampart, and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I love that. That's important for us. That's so important for us. And see, the Lord answers Habakkuk and he says this, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it will speak it, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So though it tarries, but it will not tarry, is this idea that we don't know the time for God moving. But we have the promise that he will move. We often have the course correction, which, remember, we can boil it down to two simple key things that revolutionize everything. And that's love God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then to look at those around you and to love them and care for them exactly the same way that you love and care for yourself. I think the reason that Jesus said it so succinctly was so that it would catch in our brains, but so that we wouldn't make a whole bunch of rules and regulations and everything around it. Because we are all so different. This is part of a conversation I had with one of my kids recently, where we were talking about these family rules, and my child, I'm going to be vague specifically, and there's so many of them you actually don't know who it is. Right? You probably know it's not the babies, but this idea that that there's family rules that we try and live by that are our guidelines so that we stay oriented to God, but it's not that they are absolutely mandatory to live life. And my child was expressing this idea that they're different, and that they're experiencing this thing where they're moving into situations and thanking God in every situation, that the rules that we were talking about don't necessarily need to take. Now, this is a longer conversation, but it's this idea that each and every one of us is so unique and so different, but we need these significant structures that give us the course correction and the guidance. That is, again, that we love God with everything we are. And as soon as we love God with everything we are, all of a sudden it becomes easy. The yoke that we carry becomes easy. It becomes manageable. It becomes carryable. Because when we look to God, we realize how good he is. We remember that call that we're supposed to love others and forgive others exactly the way that he forgave us. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. So here's the vision piece in what Habakkuk is writing. Write the vision, make it plain, that he may run who reads it. See, it's absolutely essential that we understand what the vision is so that we can run with it. I'm being super distracted right now. I'm going to go close that door. Thanks. Maybe you're not being distracted. You might even not hear anything. It's so exciting and fantastic what's going on back there. Now, you know that I love kids, right? And if they were in here, I'd go, oh, no big deal. Let's work with it. I just got to focus here. I need to be able to articulate some of this vision for us. Here we go. Make it plain. Make it plain. Make it so that you can see it. Because when you can see it, you can run after it. If you don't know where you're going, where is your running going to get you? Vision is absolutely essential. And God's given us these key vision pieces, right? We know that the key vision piece is ultimately moving into the place where heaven invades earth and we live from that place. He's actually given us a means through the Holy Spirit within us to function in a way that brings heaven into reality. And then in these various pockets, I believe, these various churches, he gives each one specific mandates in how to move ahead. And let's make sure we're on the same page there. As long as we're in a church that lifts the name of Jesus up, that acknowledges that He is the way to the Father, that He is the example for us, that God so loved us that He sent Jesus to live that life, to take every sin on Him, to make us clean. And that when we believe in Him, we believe that He rose from the dead, that's the entry into the family of God. As long as we're in a church like that, and there's a number of them around, man, we want to pray for them, we want to bless them, we want to work together. Do you agree? So important. Paul says it in a different way, in a more specific way, 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, Paul, in that passage specifically, is talking about self-control in the midst of life. But self-control with your eyes set on the vision, set on where we're going. What a privilege it is every year to pause, to reflect back on what happened in the year before, and then to look ahead as to what God is going to do. So what I want us to do is I want us to remember some of the vision pieces that we have as Crossroads Community Church. Now remember, we've got vision, mission, values. And essentially the vision is the far off. This is where we're going. The mission is what we're doing in order to get there. The values are who we are, essentially what we value as we move in the mission to achieve the values. Does that make sense? We're good? So I'm going to put these values up, or Sam's going to put these values up. Thanks, buddy. Let's go ahead and put that first one up. Okay, now, I'm going to prime us, and what I want you to do is go ahead. It's up on the screen. You can read it. If you are a member of Crossroads Community Church, then I just anticipate, because you're a member, you've already identified this. I want to invite you to speak these out. I want to invite you to speak them with your heart. If you're somebody who calls Crossroads home and you haven't become a member yet because classes aren't there, or you're moving through things, or there's other reasons, but you identify with them, speak them out from your heart. If you're somebody who is visiting here, awesome, we're so glad that you're here. If you identify with these as a follower of Jesus, speak them out from your heart. We're just going to move through these and just talk about them. But it's important that we have the vision piece coming up in front of us. It's important that we know where we're going. Right? Okay, here we go. We see a rapidly growing church that is responding to the love of Christ by carrying God's heart and mission to the coast, Canada, and the world beyond. All right, that was a little quiet. I'm not going to lie. That was a little lackluster. But I'm going to let it slide this. I'm not going to make you do it again. Sometimes I make us do it again. It's okay. Listen, this is one of those verses that captures the Great Commission. This is that thing that Jesus called us to do when he left. When he went back to the Father, where he waits, where he intercedes for us, where when we pray, he makes those requests known to God the Father. And remember, it's absolutely essential that we don't separate the spiritual from the natural. It's important that we're understanding that these two go together. That was the most amazing, one of the most amazing things that Jesus always did. That when he taught, he managed to bring the spiritual and the natural together. And it's important that we keep the spiritual and the natural together. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And then he went physically, spiritually to the Father. It's absolutely essential that we're grabbing on to this. Now, here's what I'm excited about. These vision statements were captured by a team five years ago. Is that about right? About 5 years ago. And they're still so significant to us. But what we're starting to see is that we're actually starting to touch into them. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Yeah. So responding to love by carrying God's heart and mission to the coast, which we've been involved in. The Canada, we're loose. We're still figuring that one out to a degree, what it means to go beyond. But the world beyond, our team has tickets booked. Our Guatemala leadership mission team has tickets booked and are leaving in February. That's a beginning of the fulfillment of that, to go into the world beyond. I can't tell you how excited I am to see that piece come together. Are you excited as you look right now? I love you guys. That's good. All right. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next one. There we go. Okay, I want you to take a few deep breaths, okay? In through the nose, out through the mouth. Get the oxygen flowing. Try from your belly this time. Try from with a little bit of heart. If this is you and you identify it, okay? Here we go. We see a church that enters so completely into God's presence that its people always celebrate. We see a church whose worship is heard beyond its own walls, calling people to an intimate relationship with Jesus. Nice work. This worship is so essential for us. It's another way of saying this is how we love God. We worship. Our very lives become worship. Where everything we do is this living sacrifice. And it's not that people can hear the songs necessarily through the walls. It's that our worship permeates our lives so much that as we move in, we just ooze this adoration of a God who loves us, of a God who is worthy, of a God who has given everything so that we can be in right relationship with him. Now, this is one that we spent some time on this last year. And if I can share from you as one who stands up here and sings with you, I hear us. I hear us in new ways. I hear as God's Spirit moves. I believe that God is continuing. And I think we're just at the beginning. And we're praying that God will raise up more leaders in our music worship, and so that we can come in this place and together, united, raise our voices so that will carry us and move through. Again, one of the things that we've done as a worship team is every week we put the songs that we're going to sing in there for Sunday. And the reason we do that is because as you arrive, you're not an audience. You're actually part of the worship team. You sit there, but you're an essential part of us. And there's something that, if you haven't tried it yet, there's something that happens as you listen to the songs, as the words become more than just words, but you actually start to grab onto the meaning, and it goes from just your head into your heart. And so if you're not on that email list, let Kelly know so that we can get you those songs every week. And join us. Join us, church. So good. So essential, so good. All right. Thanks, Sam. Let's jump to the next one, buddy. All right. Go ahead. I'm going to actually give you just 10 seconds to read that through. All right, let's read it together. Again, take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth. Here we go. We see a church where people are developed to live to the full capacity of their true identity in Christ. We see a people of sacrifice who lay everything down for God's mission, reconciling people to Him. Wow. Think of what that looks like. And not just that it's going to be difficult to lay things down that we like, but think of it, of what it means to be part of that key ministry. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about you are called. When you know Jesus, you are called into that ministry of reconciling, of bringing people into right relationship. I believe this one statement, which talks about sacrifice, is connected to these next two statements that are coming. So let's go to the next one here. Go ahead and take 2 seconds and read that. Okay, a couple deep breaths. Right from your bellies, here we go. We see a church committed to love even when it's difficult, having a spirit of forgiveness towards everyone, generously extending grace to all, loving others before they love us. Wow. This is such a key for us. I mentioned this earlier, that our call is to forgive. Paul calls us to forgive just the way the Lord forgave you. Which means even in situations where you might feel like you have a right to withhold forgiveness, the call is forgiveness. In fact, that word, or those three words, generously extending grace. Generously, we know what that means, right? It's above and beyond. It's this extraordinary. It's this going over the top. I'm sure there were a number of us here who were generous to our family at Christmas, right? We saw an opportunity to bless, to give amazing gifts. And so we went out of our way and we spent a generous amount of money, and we were generous. Extending means that we actually have to make the effort and reach out and extend. It's not something that's done and held back. It's this intentional, I forgive. With a reach out and reconciliation. And it may be, often it is, if not every time, when somebody's offended and there's two parties involved, usually there's something on the other side, right? So you actually may need to seek forgiveness, but then you need to extend forgiveness. And it's not this extended if it feels right, extended if they forgive you. It's this no matter what, forgive. These things revolutionize the world around you. These things change your life. Remember Jesus in John 20 says, if you forgive, then the sins will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, sins won't be forgiven. Remember what that means? It's not that you have the power of God over people. What it means is that if you forgive people, all of a sudden you will walk in freedom. What that person has done to you actually will no longer hold you back. But if you don't forgive that person, you've put a chain around yourself. This idea, this key of walking in freedom is a life of ongoing forgiveness. And it's hard, but it's so good. Hard, but it's so good. Okay, last one here, last one of our core vision statements. Go ahead and read it. All right, here we go. This is our last one. Give it all you got. You ready? Here we go. We see a church where people are healed in heart, mind, soul, and body by the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing and living in the freedom that comes from life in Christ. See, each one of these builds into the next. As an example, if we struggle with forgiveness, we've locked ourselves, and it becomes not impossible because nothing is impossible for God, but it becomes difficult to access that full freedom. It becomes difficult to access that healing. And we're talking about a holistic healing. We're talking about every part of our being because God is a God who loves us. God is a God who doesn't give us sickness. God is a God who has a way out of hurt and pain, whether that's in your mind or your soul or your body. And this is an essential one for us to press towards. And not to manufacture, but to really believe in God's goodness and that He has a way for us. So good. So good. Now here's what I want to, we're going to bridge this now into this idea of New Year's resolutions, into the idea of goal setting. Now, I don't see Jody in here. Jody's been reading a book, and she'll have to be the one that will share the actual book. I'm going to paraphrase for you from that book. And in this book, what the author does is he articulates the danger of setting goals. And another person, John Mark Comer is his name. He's written a book on busyness, and I forget the exact name of it. I remembered it yesterday. Anybody? It's all blank. We'll figure it out later. Send me an email if you want it. I'll fire it off to you. Anyways, in his book, he did some research. He did some research on goals. And in all of publication writing, there was these early 1900s where all these searches were done for goals, and all of a sudden it started to spike somewhere in the 50s or 60s where almost now it's goals are out of control. Goals are everything. Goals are all we talk about. Without goals, you're lost, you're aimless, you're a failure. You can't exist or move forward without goals. Now, hear me say this. I think goals are a great tool. They're an essential tool. They're part of how we look ahead to the vision. I've talked to you today just about achieving some of those goals. But goals on their own can be dangerous. An example is given in this book about somebody who sets a goal, and it may have been a New Year's resolution goal, but I am going to run a marathon at the end of this year. Anybody run a marathon here? A few of us? Half marathons? There we go. Same thing, it's just half as long. Right? So you set this goal of running a marathon, and you do a little bit of training 1 week, and then you do a little bit more training the next week, and then all of a sudden you slack off on the training, and it gets to the race day, and you go, man, I am not ready for this, and you don't achieve that goal, and all of a sudden you feel like a failure. You didn't achieve your goal, and so rather than having the understanding and the need to keep pressing in, what can happen, and here's the danger of the goals, is you feel like a failure, and the idea of failure sets in, and you're stuck. Now you've got a whole nother set to bring to the next time freedom session comes around, et cetera, et cetera. You okay? Everybody okay with that? As opposed to identity being your focus. And what I mean is this. Rather than just having a goal of running a marathon, identifying, I am a runner. And so this day you run 5K, the next day you run 2K, the next day you put your shoes on and get out the door and go, it's a little rainy for me today. But you keep pressing with the core underlying element being who you are, that is a runner. And as you hold that identity, you move towards achieving, maybe it's at first a 5K or 10K or a build-up. And when you don't achieve it, you haven't lost your identity, because your identity is more important than just the goal itself. Hey, come on. And this is so essential for us as followers of Jesus. And this ties into our vision piece for 2020. Clearly, our desire is to have this 2020 vision. Right? Being able to see really clearly, being able to see in a way that we know where to run, how far we're going to run, what direction we're running in. But what is absolutely essential, what is absolutely core to all of this, is that our identity is in who we are as children of God. Because once we have that, even when we don't measure up to the vision statements, even when we fall, we don't fall into failure, we fall back into the embrace of Jesus, where he grabs us and he offers us correction. And that's where this connects a little bit back to Habakkuk, where he waits, he listens for the correction. Who are we then? I'm going to give you two scriptures that Paul spoke that are essential, that are difficult for us to grasp when we keep the natural and the spiritual so far apart. But when we allow the natural and the spiritual to come together, the way that Jesus lived life, the way that I believe we are called to live life, they make sense. The first is Colossians 3, and these aren't going to be up on the screen, so if you have your Bibles, just flip open or put your put your page in your phone to Colossians 3. It says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So often our hearts and our minds get caught up in false identities. So often our hearts and our minds get caught up in a need to serve ourselves. So often our hearts and our minds get caught up and obsessed with temporal or natural things. And what Paul is saying is, hey, there's an actual death that you experience. Your spirit was dead. When you came to Jesus, all of a sudden your spirit came alive. When you choose Jesus, you actually experience a resurrection. We were talking about that in this morning when we were rehearsing for worship, and we were talking about this difference in, it seems, the songs, the way that they're written, the way that you hear them, the way that we do them. We pause, we make space. And when it talks about Jesus rising, we rise with Him. And Paul is saying, hey, you died. You need to let those things die. You need to look to Jesus. And then Jesus, He's going to tell you everything that you need to do with all the temporal things. He's going to tell you what you need to do with those relationships that hurt. He's going to tell you what you need to do when you're in a situation that's difficult, even if you made difficult or poor decisions that have put you there. This is a key part of our identity, setting our hearts and our minds on Jesus. This is how we access the forgiveness that we're talking about. This is how we prepare to step into the fullness that God has prepared for us. You hear me? With me? So good. So good. Ephesians 2 is speaking of similarly with some different words. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Down to 3, all of us obeyed them, were trapped in them at one time in our lives. That's the old way, that's the dead way. Listen, but because of His great love for us. See, the love of God isn't this empty thing. It's not this because God is spirit and we don't see Him face to face the way that we sometimes want to. It doesn't mean that His love is not real. God's love and mercy is made real in Jesus and manifest by His Holy Spirit when we choose Jesus. Because of His great love for us, God, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. Remember, we talked about favor. There's so much favor, so much more favor for us. Grace is this idea of unmerited favor. We have the favor of Christ because of God's great mercy. So it is by grace you've been saved. And here's this core identity verse, okay? Verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the challenge. When we forget that we have been raised up, that we've been brought into relationship with God, that He, in a spiritual sense, seats us with Him in the throne room. When we lose that understanding of our identity, we fall, we get distracted, we get confused, nothing makes sense. But when we grab onto these, and these are just a few small examples of who we are, and when we grab onto those, what we have access to, all of a sudden we step into the fulfillment. The fulfillment of achieving those vision pieces. This may be an old saying. I don't know that I've heard it a number of times, but I heard somebody speak it recently. We did not come this far to get this far. Have you heard that before? We haven't come this far to get this far. We're going to get down to the brass tacks, so to speak. There were a number of things that we spoke about at the end of our fiscal year, but the beginning of the, if you want to call it the school year, in August, September, where we said, hey, these are things that we're going to put a priority on as we look ahead. We're going to put a priority on getting a team to Guatemala. Man, awesome. We've pretty much paid the way. There's a few more dollars that we're pulling together, but essentially we've done it. Great job, team. Nice work, team. Great job, church. And great job, community around us who support us. That's amazing, right? We said that we are going to work on equipping us to become inviters. That's a work in progress. We're still working towards that. But here's a little snapshot for you. We evaluated over the last few years where we've done multiple services. Sometimes once it was on Sunday, so we had a 10, a 3:30, and a 5:30. And then the year after, we did a 3:30, 5:30, 11 o'clock. And of all those services, the most well-attended was the 3:30. And so we thought, we're going to be at Raven's Cry. We only have access this year to one service. We're going to do it at 3:30. It was a bit of a risk, but we actually had somewhere between 170 and 180 people here on Christmas Eve. How? Because we invited people. Because we extended that invitation. Now, there's still more work for us to do in that. And now, there were a couple of other things, but one of the bigger things was this idea of we as a leadership are going to figure out how do we actually start to move towards having our own land, our own property, our own building. And I believe that is a place that God has so much more for us this coming year. I want you to just remember back to what God has done for us. So Crossroads started, if you're here last week, it was awesome because we had Mike Metcalf, who had served as an elder on and off, mostly on, I think, since the start of Crossroads. And we had Mike sitting up here sharing about the start of Crossroads, sharing about that prophetic word that they had heard at the Delirious concert, and how God had called them to start. Now, Crossroads started, and for a number of years, it rented facilities. It started, the very first place, I believe, was in West Seashelt, correct? There was a little bit of time before that in, was it in a home? At the Legion, okay. And then in West Seashelt, and then after West Seashelt, moved to the theater, right? And was renting office space at Rockwood. Now, in the midst of that, about 3 years ago, God, in a miraculous way, gifted us with a church, our very own church, a building, a property that all of a sudden moved us from having zero property, zero assets in that area, to all of a sudden having something that's 500,000-600,000, give or take, depending on the market. We went from zero to $500,000 or $600,000. Let me say that again. Zero to $500,000. God's great. Like, what did we do there? I mean, yeah. Celebrate, yeah. If you want to celebrate, celebrate. Thank you, Lord. I mean, the only thing really that we did was we kept on doing the good works, which are absolutely essential. Keep on doing good. That's what God calls us to do, to keep on doing good. All of the other amazing things come as, I believe, we keep on doing good. But that's God's miraculous provision. Here's the thing. We didn't come this far to get this far. There's more. There's an original. Now, whether ends up staying in West Seashell or whether it ends up being somewhere else, we have to be open to that, don't we? Now, what's been happening here is that God's been speaking, and you may be one here who has been hearing from God around this, but speaking and giving one scripture to a few people at this point. And so if God's been speaking this scripture to you, we want to hear from you as well, because it's essential that we move into this next season listening. But this is the scripture that's been shared with me that I'm passing on for us to pray and to press into. It's Deuteronomy 11. And this is God speaking to the Israelites before they're preparing to move into the promised land. It says this: "But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end." Ah, Joel, that's a Deuteronomy scripture. That's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. That doesn't even mean anything to us. Listen, here's the thing about testimony. The thing about testimony is this. The Hebrew word for testimony is do it again. Right? As we read through scripture, we see God's heart. We hear his promises and his desires to bless us. We know that God is a good God, and we know that he provides. We're standing right now in a place where we've moved from zero to $500,000 because of God's provision, his miracle. We believe that he's called us on to more. We didn't come this far to get this far. There's so much more for us. And there's something significant in us stepping into our identity as children of the Most High God. There's something significant about us loving God with everything that we are, and then that moving into our relationships. There's something significant about us stepping into our inheritance and what God has for us here. So we, in a sense, received an inheritance with CMC, didn't we? I believe, as do others who are listening, that God has more for us. And not just a little more. So much more. So much more, church. Now here's the challenge for us. Here's the 2020 vision. I was pressing into God, what do you have? How do I share this prophetic word? How do we celebrate what you're doing? How do we press in more? And this idea of Habakkuk came to mind, right? Of this posture of waiting, of praying, of listening, of being ready to step in. And so there's an invitation here for us. There were three things that I felt like God spoke in that are going to be essential for us as we step into this next season. Absolutely essential. One is prayer, one is fasting, and one is breakthrough. And they're all connected. You can't separate them. I believe they all come together. right? It starts with this idea of prayer. It moves through prayer, filters in with our fasting. And fasting is where you abstain from something. Scripture, it was normally food that people would abstain from, but we know that you can abstain from other things. The purpose is so that you are able to step into whatever God has for you. Remember the apostles that were fighting this spiritual warfare. They go, we try to cast out demons and some of them won't come out. And Jesus says simply, well, those ones you got to pray and fast for. Did their identity change? Did their authority change? No, but their access, their understanding, they're using that tool, that spiritual discipline of fasting gave them that breakthrough. Fasting, prayer, and breakthrough. And so here's the challenge. What we're going to do here in a moment is I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do communion. And as we do communion, or sometime afterwards, I have these slips. And this is our action. This is essentially our preliminary action step. And what's on this slip is 2020 vision. It says, I'm in. Right? And it's got, I'm going to prayer, fasting, breakthrough. And if you're in, what I would invite you to do, and now this is invitation. This is not, there's zero pressure. There's no obligation. It's just invitation. You're invited to check those, put your name and your email on. And what we're going to do is intentionally, for those of us who are willing to commit, we're going to intentionally take some steps. Now, remember we talked about forgiving isn't always easy. Laying down your life and sacrificing isn't always an easy thing to do, but it's always the best thing to do. And after you've overcome the discomfort and the uneasiness, man, is it good. Can anybody agree with me in that? Can anybody put your hand up and say, man, that is my experience? If it's not your experience yet, then I encourage you to give it a try. Because that's the call of God in our lives, to lay our way down, to trust Him with His way, to trust Him that as we put our things aside and seek Him first, everything else is added and given. Can I invite those who are serving communion just to make their way up front? So don't leave the slips for now. I'll bring us back to that after we wrap up communion, just to remind us what it looks like. I want you to just pray right now as we move in. I want you to pray. I'm going to read this scripture again, and then we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper. Can I invite you to stand, church? So, Lord, we stand as your people, as your church. I believe we stand poised, anticipating with a degree of excitement, but not knowing what's next. And I believe, Lord, that you modeled obedience in taking these next steps as you prepared, as you went to the cross. And this new covenant that we take part in together is where the spiritual and the natural come together, where we remember who you are, what you've given, what you sacrificed, what you laid down. So, church, the Lord Jesus, on the night he betrayed, he took bread, and he gave thanks, he broke it, and said, this is my body, which is for you to do this. Remember this. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this. church, you just can't. Father, we stand as your children. We stand with thankful hearts for who you are, for what you've given us. And we remember, Lord. We remember after the supper you took the cup and you said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. Remember it." Church, I want you to consider right now, I want you to consider your heart for 2020, your investment, your commitment, your desire to press in with us as we look at what God has for us. I'm going to read the scripture again, and then we're going to close the service and invite our prayer teams to come up. We're going to have prayer teams here. If there's anything that we can pray for you about. And if you're in a place where you're going, I'm in, I want to see what God is going to do, I want to be part of what God is doing at Crossroads, I just want to invite you to come up and fill out, just put your name on, check off these boxes as an initial step, an initial commitment, an initial step forward. So this is Habakkuk, and the Lord answers him and says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Who reads it." Lord, let us see so plainly what you have for us so that we can run. Let us be like Habakkuk, who stands, who watches, who waits. Deuteronomy 11, "But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven." It kind of sounds like Sunshine Coast, doesn't it? "It's a land that the Lord your God cares for." That sounds like us, doesn't he? Doesn't he care for us, where we are? "The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end." Lord, show us. Lord, show us where to press in. Show us where to hold off as we commit to praying, to fasting, to seeing you break. Church, bless you, Jesus.